Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Let's go!
Let's go! Hello, the internet, and welcome to this special week trend, weekend trending, whatever you want to call it. It has so many names.
Let's go!
As we call it. Where we tell you what was trending over the weekend, what's trending on this fine Monday morning. My name's Jack O'Brien. Thrilled to be joined by super producer Brian Jeffries.
Jack O'Brien.
It's Brian the editor. I'm here.
Brian the editor. Oh, that's right. My bad.
You forgot about the rebrand. It's okay. We all make mistakes.
I fucked you, man. I'm sorry.
All right. Let's just look. Let's just start the whole thing over
again,
until you get
it's
it right.
Brian, the editor.
This is the fifth time
we've gone through it.
Yeah. It's been a long morning.
Demanding. It's called branding.
It's 10:30 right now.
Yeah.
Just letting you guys know.
We usually record at 9.
We're an hour and a half late.
Because I keep fucking up the intro. Yeah.
Anyway.
It was just first thing about the weekend, I got to say. I say this whenever like Christmas or Valentine's Day or St. Patty's Day happens on the weekend. It's weird to have January 6th happen on the weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Like all the parties and things you like wear to work in honor of the January 6th political prisoners. It's not the same dressing up as a January 6th political prisoner on the weekend.
I mean, I still take a work day off. Just goes,
right.
But I get what you mean. It's totally weird.
Like, what are my
January
kids
6th.
Gonna get into a yelling match with
oh,
me?
I'm not, yeah, I don't send you my know? Kids. I don't send my kids to school on anywhere near. I don't send my kids to school in January.
What do you think? I'm an idiot.
January 6th.
Yeah, I mean, my kids barely know that Biden's name isn't Brandon. They just think that's his name. You know, like what? They're not gonna be fun to get into an argument with.
No.
But anyways. Happy January 6th. Happy belated January 6th to you and with your spirit.
And unto you as well.
And unto you. This is a special episode. We recorded early Monday. We tell you what was trending. And we also tell you a little something about what's going on with us by telling you our very own overrated underrateds. My overrated, got a couple here. Bacon packaging.
Like the vacuum seal kind?
Yeah. Like the little envelope vacuum seal where like
oh with the flap that you slide the little
yeah, the little flat.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
Like it feels like there should be a good resealable package by now, but it's just such a mess. Like the second you open it once, it like
it's kind of fucked. You just have to cook all the bacon, or at least I do. I haven't yeah. figured out the right way to deal with that thing.
Yeah, because because I made a bolognese last week, and I couldn't find pancetta, so I had to use bacon, and hey, I made sure to find the smallest pack of bacon so that I right. could use everything, because I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
This greasy, slippery, thin little package that I'm going to have in the fridge slipping around.
But every other food has like multiple packagings that you can buy. Like cereal has the box, but it also has the bag and the resealable bag. And
question?
Yes, Beyonce?
What is your ideal packaging for bacon?
Well,
if not the slippery Ziploc.
I'm not a fucking engineer here, man. All right. I'm just saying that like somebody should have come up with something better.
Christian,
sorry to get so defensive.
All right, let's just start the podcast over.
I am balling my fists up right now. But I don't like I looked into like why is this the reason, like what is the reason for why this is just the standard way to package bacon? And it has to do with like marketing, basically. Like they want to, it's called a shingle pack, Ryan, as I'm sure you know, reference to the way the slices kind of overlap with one another and are kind of like fanned out. But they say that basically they like to show the red part. You know how bacon like has the small red part and then like a lot of fat. Mm-hmm. And even though the fat is what makes the bacon taste good, it's also the thing that like looks the least appetizing before it's cooked. And so people like want to not, or the marketers want to not show off the fat. So that seems to be like, I found a Forbes article that was like kind of pro the packaging. They're like, it's actually like an ingenious way to just show a relatively unbroken field of red protein, creating the illusion that the bacon is leaner than it is. But it's
inefficient. The way white people explain things. Sorry.
I think it should be sold like a roll of tape where you just like can pull a strip of bacon off one at a time. Now, all right. Yeah, sorry. Sorry I got so
I think bacon should come in a jar, but whatever. Never mind.
Just floating. Yeah, I don't know. So that's, I feel like somebody's going to come and be like, actually, it has to be stored that way. I read somebody with like some explanation of why like they don't do the resealable packaging, because it would just lead people to reuse bacon too late. Like there's like no good way to preserve bacon, I guess. Once you open the packaging, it's like you should be using it as quickly as possible. But I don't know. Just such a mess. It feels like it could be improved upon. Come on, capitalism. I feel like you can do better than this.
Yeah, bacon jars.
Bacon jars. What's something you think is overrated?
Okay, I'm going to keep this as brief as I can, because once I get going on this, I can go for like 45 fucking minutes. My overrated is having like an organic human body, I guess, is one way to put it. Mm-hmm. So let me explain. I love food. I love drinks. I love tasty things mm-hmm. of all kinds. But I'd say once a year, I have this meter in my head somewhere that just fills up. And once it fills up, I kind of have a meltdown of, I'm so fucking sick of having to put things in my body to keep it going. And I just kind of like have this existential crisis in my head of, man, it's so exhausting
being human
and having to tend to my human body.
Yeah.
Like no matter how much I love food, I'd say like once a year this happens, and I'm just, I'm in the midst of it right now. And I'm so down on like not food, but just like the process,
mm-hmm.
eating, drinking, shitting, the whole works. I'm just like, oh my God, can I just replace everything from the neck down with robot parts or something?
Yeah. Just plug in at night.
Or like I was thinking the other day, I always have these mad thoughts where I'm like, damn, it'd be kind of crazy if you could have like some sort of like some sort of sci-fi food where it's like you only have to like where you can eat like a snake basically, where you just eat this thing and then you're good for like two weeks.
How doesn't that exist? It feels like that should exist for people who similarly get tired of eating. I guess
it's kind of dystopian.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Honestly, there are some times where I would totally go for it just so I can like. Because, you know, sometimes if you're especially like if I'm busy and I'm in one of these moods, I just have no interest in food. I'm just like, whatever, just give me noodles or popcorn or whatever. Just something that I can make quickly and I don't have to think about.
The two major food groups.
Yeah.
Noodles and popcorn.
Yeah. So that's my overrated. I just went a little nutty this weekend.
Fucking nuts, man. You're really out there, dude. Yeah, I feel like Silicon Valley is going to come up with something. For you. You know, they already had the Soylent, a direct reference to Soylent Green. So I feel like
I knew people that drank that. And I was like, this, you cool with this? This doesn't alarm you?
I mean, it's basically the same thing. It's like you just replace all your eating with like chugging this thing down in 5 seconds and then you don't have to think about eating at all.
And like stark white packaging with black letters. It's just something alarming about it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they could do for a rebrand just focused on people who want to be robots. Robot juice. Recharge. You know, so focus it that way. Make it slick. Make it less dystopian. All right. My underrated is how staged everything is. So I'm not on TikTok as much as a lot of other people. But there's this tweet from somebody who, let me quote them directly. So it's Vinny Thomas, Vin_A, tweeted, "I really don't want to see millennials and Gen Z making fun of boomers anymore because the way many of you watch staged TikTok skits and respond to them like they're documentaries is frankly nuts. It's giving grandma sharing a picture of a Photoshop bird and saying, wow, nature is so beautiful. And then he says, I think this says a lot about the way men are socialized to misbehave on public transportation, particularly in the West, attributed to many of you after you see the worst actor in the world yelling on a fake airplane. So I'm not like fully, I've seen a couple of these. I'm not like fully up on the TikTok culture, but this is something that I've noticed just generally, like we're not suspicious of things being staged. The main place that I saw it recently was did you see the Stephen A. Smith segment on his ESPN show where somebody like called in and asked him a question about Cars, the Disney movie Cars?
All right, let's
play that clip real quick.
Danny in Wisconsin, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Danny? Talk to me.
Stephen A. Smith, when you think about the GOAT of sports, you think about Mike with 6, Brady with 7 rings. But where do you rank a guy like Lightning McQueen with 7 Piston Cups?
I would tell you he wouldn't be the GOAT. How are you going to be the GOAT? Because you talk about the movie Cars, right? I mean, when you talk about Stripper King Weathers and Lightning McQueen, they're both tied with 7 Piston Cups. Strip Weathers, you've got about him? How can you be the GOAT? You got somebody that's tied with you? You got somebody that's tied with you? Sorry, that ain't gonna work. Well, I know you tried to catch me with that. You didn't think I knew that about that. You didn't think I knew about Cars, did you?
When you think about Piston Cups. He's got 28 circuits. He got 28 circuits under his
Strip
belt, too.
There's Weathers multiple races. Has 7 Piston Cups. I am not
this
about to sit here and argue with a grown-ass man about the movie Cars.
Oh, come on.
Painful.
Strip Weathers has 7 Piston Cups.
And then the guy, like, starts responding and being like, oh, come on. I don't agree with that. Strip Weathers, like, and... It's the response, like I've seen a lot of people on social media be like amazing, and like the most skeptical people have been is like he must have had someone feeding him facts, but it seems obvious
to
me that
paper,
like
the, right in front of him you could see him reading
and the caller was clearly a plant, like
that
wasn't a real caller, you guys, that was just a guy who works for him that was like or an intern or something like that. But they had like a video or, you know, a picture of Lightning McQueen, like, ready to go right away the second the guy called. So I don't, like, this doesn't bother me. Like, it makes Stephen A. Smith, I think, seem funnier and more approachable than I think he probably actually is, but fine. But, like, I'm just wondering, is this something we've decided culturally, like, just without saying it, that, like, we're going to take everything at face value because it's more fun that way? And we're just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, fine.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed, like, little sprinklings of this all over, like, you know, on YouTube, Reddit. Like, people, there is a certain gullibility of this age that I find fascinating, that people will go in for this kind of stuff more easily than you would think. This feels like PR to make him seem more huggable than he actually is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's good TV. It clearly worked. It's just, I'm just curious if we have all decided, like, we're good with just bullshit like this. Like, it's well-executed bullshit, but it seems clearly, like, bullshit to me. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's, like, some law that says you can't have a fake caller call in, and that's why people are assuming it wasn't, but it just feels...
Because taking this at face value, you have to ignore so many production things, like,
right.
Of, like, he's clearly got notes on this. Like, you know, the guy running, like, the blue screen clearly has all his slides lined the fuck up. Like,
yeah.
This I wasn't mean, and that off could the be cuff, obvious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the calls are screened, but, like, it still just feels like the whole thing is a setup, which is fine. Like I said, it's just a weird thing that I feel like, because we're used to seeing these, like, set up fake videos and, like, fake prank videos and stuff like that on YouTube. But, like, we've just had our tolerance for this sort of thing just kind of opened up to a point that now we're just like, yeah, you can get away with anything. Trick us, daddy. We're not even paying attention. We don't care. Anyways, what's something, Brian, that you think is underrated?
Okay. You know, speaking of the internet, I just discovered a YouTube channel called Bobby Fingers. Now, what is Bobby Fingers? It's real fucking hard to explain, and I'm going to do my best. So Bobby Fingers is an Irish comedian / musician / sculptor, model maker, and he's found a way to marry all of those things into the YouTube format. And the first video I watched of his was him making a diorama of Mel Gibson getting arrested in Malibu.
Wow.
And he makes these things, and he's really, really, really talented, first of all.
Like, yeah, very, like, beautifully created.
Look at this. Yeah. He uses all this technology and clay, and it's just, he's really good at making dioramas, like, on a professional, like, movie level. But he's got the sense of humor of, you know, Lemmy from Lemmy's Show, but Irish instead of Scottish. And it's just surreal. It's a surreal channel. His latest video is him making a rowboat, full-size rowboat, in the shape of Jeff Bezos' head. It's real weird.
A rowboat that the boat itself is in the shape of Jeff Bezos' head.
Yeah. Look at this.
And I find it difficult not to be inspired by this. Because if Jeff Bezos can venture into the great unknown in a ship shaped like a massive dick, then so can I.
And yeah
I want to see it. Does it, is it seafaring, like, is it water worthy? Wow.
Gather, sons, and hear me tell of a ship that caught a hideous swell with a pickle that was bound.
And then he sings
every video ends with a song. Yes, yeah. Every video ends with a song, and then he, like, takes this thing he just made, and he'll go bury it, and then he'll tell you that he hid the GPS coordinates somewhere in the video, and that you can go, like, find it.
Wow.
It's just this crazy piece of performance art, and it's surreal. It's surreal and fascinating. You get to watch someone work on their craft, but it's more than the sum of its parts, I guess, is why I like it. Because it's not just all those things I mentioned. It really does come out to be, you're like, you come out of it like, what the fuck did I just watch? But
yeah,
in a really good way. He also has a diorama of the famous story of Steven Seagal getting choked out and shitting himself. just highly recommend it. Check out Bobby Fingers. I'll link it in the show notes.
Show notes. Amazing. Kind of looks like Robert Pattinson playing like it
in the lighthouse.
Uglied up. Yeah, like uglied up for the lighthouse. Very cool. Great underrated, man. That was, by the way, one that you came up with on the fly when we started. You did not have an underrated. Mm-hmm. So. Well done. Let's take a quick break. Should we? Should we take a quick break? Come back and talk about some news stories from over the weekend, including the Golden Globes monologue.
Meow.
And that is a tease to another story we'll be talking about cats. We will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And so the Golden Globes aired Sunday, and the big winners were Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer and Succession, and the big loser was everyone who had to sit through that monologue. Am I right? Did you watch it? I'm assuming you didn't watch the Golden Globes, or you would be howling with laughter.
No, I didn't watch the Golden Globes because I'm a regular person, and I only watch trade shows in my industry. but
yeah,
but I support their their right to exist, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on with the Golden Globes. But yeah, I heard tell that it was bad, and I don't know why they still televise it.
So he got up there. He was like barely given any time to prepare, apparently, and was announced as the host of the show a few weeks ago.
I don't even know who this guy is.
Who's... It's just a stand-up comedian. Joe Coy is a stand-up comedian. They, you know, settled on having him host a couple weeks ago, and the jokes were going over so well that in the middle of the monologue, he just like threw the whole thing under the, he said, some I wrote, some other people wrote, like after nobody laughed at his joke. And then he said, yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Shut up. You're kidding me, right? I wrote some of these and they're the ones you're laughing at. So there, like you, it's like having an argument inside his head in front of everybody.
Oh boy.
It was tough.
Maybe hire someone a little more secure in their position.
Right. I mean, it's a brutal, like the reaction videos are pretty amazing. I suggest like going for just like a kind of highlight reel of reaction videos to the jokes, because
you said he's not a comedian.
He is. He's a stand-up comedian who's like had
but
a bunch of
but he can't handle
Netflix.
Bombing. Like bombing's part of the job.
I don't know. I think it's hard to bomb in that like large of a large scale, like high stakes of a situation, you know, like everybody is watching. It's probably the highest profile thing he's ever done in his career.
I guess when you look at it that way, because I can't not see it as this is just a trade show with like my friends and like colleagues. So like, what's the big deal? Like, we're just fucking around, right?
Right.
Because to me, trade shows are always cringe. So it's like, what's the big deal? But to him, I could see, yeah, I guess this is like, there's a lot of big names in the room. You don't want to embarrass yourself.
Yeah. And like, I just feel like it's a thankless task, generally.
Like,
there's that Chris Rock one where he joked about how Jude Law is in everything and like, was like, what's why, which is like true, but for a while there, Jude Law was in like every movie that came out. And then like, Sean Penn got up there and was like, I'll tell you why, Jude Law is one of the finest actors that we've had, like, just like real mad.
Well,
and
Sean Penn doesn't understand humor.
Yeah. He just, and it's not like a very conducive environment for like a roasting, you know, but like that's what people, so the audience expects one thing, like the television watching audience, the audience in the room is like, don't fucking talk about
it's
me,
so
man.
Funny because it's set up exactly like a roast, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the layout is very roast like
yeah, the thing with the Golden Globes that's supposed to set them apart is it's open bar, so everybody's drinking and like having fun, but it was just, that was not the vibe at all. But like I said, the reaction from the crowd of famous actors, they were just like not giving him anything. Like, it was just, they were using all of their acting and, you know, physical facial control to just hang this motherfucker out
to
dry.
Politely.
Yeah.
That is brutal shit.
It almost like makes me wonder if we should just send out one stand-up comedian every year to sacrifice their career
to and humble we can them.
Just and we can just see the most gifted actors be wordlessly cruel to someone, because that's kind of the exercise of.
Okay, who's your first pick?
To sacrifice?
No, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Due to the nature of the show.
Get canceled,
due
man.
To the nature of the show, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, we need Rogan's support, so I can't say him. But yeah, there are people responding like they just like got a terminal diagnosis to some of his jokes, like just like putting their head in their hands and shit. Like, it became a thing. Like, as it was going on, it was like, all right, how cruelly can we react to each of these attempted jokes?
Yeah, because I guess there's like a fucked up like feedback loop in the room. Something, because it's like, yeah, it would be totally different, because we've all seen people bomb, but.
yeah,
this is, it's gotta hit different when you see, like, I don't know, fucking Leonardo DiCaprio like wincing.
Yeah, like truly people were like wincing and just like averting their gaze, and but like in a very studied, well-crafted way. Like, they're good at giving somebody absolutely nothing because they're fucking actors, so they're great. So yeah, it was entertaining. I will say, I didn't watch it live. But I went back and watched the monologue, and
just Christopher Nolan yelling, "Please pass the mic."
All right. There's a weird story from over the weekend that the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, reportedly went for an elective medical procedure at the end of December, had to be admitted to the ICU on New Year's Day after experiencing severe pain. And the White House like wasn't informed until days later for some reason. And like, so basically no one knew that we were without a Secretary of Defense for a number of days. I'm not good with like official titles, so I'd forgotten like what Secretary of Defense is, the job held by Donald Rumsfeld. So it's like the Rumsfeld job. So like kind of a big deal. Or at least it has been in past administrations.
And this year the Secretary of Defense became an unknown unknown.
Yeah, there you go. He made himself a known unknown. I guess he like put one of his subordinates in charge, like on acting Secretary of Defense duty, but like they were on vacation in Puerto Rico and didn't know he was like going into the hospital. And like they're saying the reason for this is because he's a very private person, but it's also just confusing because according to like one former DOD chief of staff, there is a system in place to keep track of high-ranking officials at all times. And even the deputy Secretary of Defense, who assumed some of his duties after he was admitted to the hospital, wasn't told why that was happening. So he sounds like, I don't know, partially it just sounds like toxic masculinity. Like, just like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm sorry I'm so tough that I didn't even think to report I was going in for a fucking medical procedure. I didn't even think about it, okay?
This just reminds me of like The Sopranos, where it's just like, yeah, it's like it's his inability to be vulnerable or say what's right. What he's going through. Right. And so he just disappears for like 3 fucking days.
Yeah.
But really he was just, I don't know, in bed crying or something.
Right.
He's at like, the therapist.
Yeah. Just like your dad calling you like 3 days after he gets out of the hospital, be like, "Hey, I was in the hospital, but everything's cool."
Oh my God, literally my dad.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people have had experiences with that. It's like, it was so not a big deal because I'm so tough that my own death and infirmity doesn't even faze me, bro. It's like not a thing. I'm also wondering, I think everybody's kind of wondering this, is there any chance his medical procedure was just like he's going to come back with the most beautiful calves in the world? And everyone will just have to pretend like his routine medical procedure wasn't getting calf implants.
Yeah, let me look at a picture of this guy and let's.
Can you bring up his calves?
Inappropriately postulate on what procedure he had done. I'm thinking just looking. Okay, so he looks like a black conservative. When I say that, I'm speaking of his hairline. If anybody's confused. You can always tell a black conservative by their hairline. So I'm guessing hair transplant. He's going to come back.
Oh, snap.
With cornrows. I'm calling cornrows.
Come back with an Eddie Munster hairline. Just like.
Just full widow's peak.
Shane Battier, like just the 1 inch of forehead. Comes back with a 2 head. Like just the narrowest forehead because his hairline is just aggressive now. It's like on his face.
Oh man.
Or it could be calf implants. I like the idea that he's just like,
hey, I mean, I can't, I typed in Lloyd Austin calves, but I didn't find any good pictures.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back with a few more news stories. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We are back.
And so a couple things I kept hearing on the anniversary of January 6th. Like I said, congratulations, brother. You got away with being there on January 6th. I kept hearing that from my comrades. But the January 6th. So in the media, not from the people I was partying with on January 6th. In the media, the January 6th investigation was being described as the largest law enforcement operation in the history of U.S. law enforcement. Which, like, that seems, how is that possible?
Excuse me?
I guess, like, it, I don't know. I feel like we should have spent more time on the JFK assassination, if that's true. The largest one is January 6th. Like, they all, like, filmed themselves. How? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I guess when you look at the numbers here, like, at least 2,000 people from each state participated in January 6th, according to these notes, I'm like,
yeah. That was the other like thing that they kept mentioning was like it was at least 2,000 people from each state, which,
that, but then
there
that
weren't 100,000 people there, like storming the Capitol. So our definition of like who was involved is pretty wide, right? That's like anybody who shared a like dank meme suggesting that Mike Pence should be hanged, like, it is considered somebody who participated. I'm not sure. It's I mean, it seems like it's quieted down the the insurrectionist community, except for Donald Trump. Maybe everyone's just like kicking back and being like, yeah, we'll be fine. He's gonna be president again, so that's why it's been kind of quiet. But I'm sure this has had its intended effect, and a lot of people are shutting the fuck up about overthrowing the U.S. government at this point.
Well, I mean, you remember what it was like. It was like a dog catching a car. They had no clue what to do once they got in there. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah. I don't know. They stole that lectern and like waved at the camera.
Like literally, I remember watching that footage of people. Like once people got inside, they were like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah.
Like, whoa, look at all this. Like they had no clue how to overthrow a government.
And then there were like two people who were like fancied themselves as like operators, big O operators.
Like they had you know, they had the real psychopaths like in the crowd. But it's like most of that crowd was like not. I don't think they were actually there
to
properly overthrow a government. They were just like, "Ooh, man, look at all this."
Yeah. They're not going to have to, it turns out. They're just going to reelect Donald Trump. Yeah. I feel like that. I feel like there were a handful of people in there who's like have self-ascribed nicknames like Spider, who are like,
"Oh my god.
There to do damage."
Yeah.
But yeah, it's wild. Like the extent of the investigation was somewhat surprising to me. Marjorie Taylor Greene was scheduled to host a book signing that also specifically proclaimed that it would be held on the occasion of the third anniversary of January 6th, with tickets ranging from $45 to $1,000. But the event's venue canceled the booking, claiming that it was pitched to them merely as a small book signing event, not a birthday party for an attempted insurrection. And so she had to like scramble last second. There's a picture of her like signing books at an event but she was the only one pictured, and there's just like thousands of books next to her without anybody in the picture with her, which suggests to me that maybe I feel like they would have added some people to the picture if anyone, literally anyone, had showed up to the event.
Or if anyone knew Photoshop.
Right. Yeah. not their strong suit.
No.
It's also like appears to be at a daycare. I don't know. Like in the background, there's like a Barbie dream house and just like a bunch of toys. It's very, very strange.
Wait, but Barbie's all woke now.
Yeah. What the heck?
What the hell?
All right. There is a report from The Intercept that CNN runs everything past the Jerusalem Bureau. And that's something that like CNN allows, like says is the truth. But this is like extreme even for U.S. mainstream media, because basically the Jerusalem Bureau has close ties to IDF censors. And so like one member of CNN's staff who spoke to The Intercept said that the internal review policy has had a demonstrable impact on coverage of the Gaza war. Every single Israel-Palestine related line for reporting must seek approval from the Jerusalem Bureau, or when the Bureau is not staffed, from a select few handpicked by the Bureau and senior management, from which lines are most often edited with a very specific nuance that favors Israeli narratives.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it. There's clearly, to me, there's clearly a mandate.
Yeah.
For Western, you know, American media that, like, yeah, there is a line that you have to stay within to report on this.
Yeah. CNN also hired a former IDF soldier to contribute writing and reporting to CNN's war coverage. Her name has appeared on dozens of stories citing the IDF spokesperson and relaying information about the IDF's operations in Gaza. And she served in the IDF spokesperson unit before getting the job with CNN. But yeah, just in terms of like the specific content of how this works, the CNN staff member said that basically like war crime and genocide are taboo words, like those will get edited out. And then Israeli bombings in Gaza will be reported as blasts attributed to nobody until the Israeli military weighs in to either accept or deny responsibility. Quotes and information provided by Israeli army and government officials tend to be approved quickly, while those from Palestinians tend to be heavily scrutinized and slowly processed. So it's just a system that only favors one version of things, which matches up with exactly what I feel like a lot of people feel like they've been seeing from outlets like CNN.
Yeah, my partner was just talking to me yesterday about, like, you know, all the people that she like follows on Facebook who have been booted off of Facebook of all things for merely supporting Palestine.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, yeah, it's wild to see like what is clearly like a mandate happening of, you can't actually report on this. You have to tell our truth, and that's it.
Yeah. And then just a weird trend I noticed over the break, that multiple like mainstream media outlets were reporting on how cats kill so many animals. Like that I had talked about this a long time ago, or like we had written an article back at Cracked like years ago about how there was a scientific consensus that when you look, you can tell whether an outdoor cat lives in a neighborhood by the health of the local bird population. Like, they're just like walking, stalking, mass extinction events. They're just crazy efficient killers. And when you let them roam free, they will kill everything in their path. And so I just started seeing this pop up again. First, the New York Times ran an article that was basically a summary of all the different types of living creatures that cats feast on, which is like 2,000, including like close to 1,000 different types of birds, but like also insects, lizards, sea turtles, apparently like the babies. Word? Yeah. But yeah, it basically seems like the scientific consensus is coming around to like outdoor cats are like invasive predators. So I don't know, that seemed to be kind of in line with what we've seen and like talked about before. But there's this article in the New Yorker that's like very, by Jonathan Franzen, the guy who wrote The Corrections, and it dropped on Christmas Day. And it's just like very, he's a birder. He's like one of the people who like, you know, is really into like looking at birds. And it's just full of like disgusting imagery of like feral cats that like makes you like start to think of like feral cats as like vermin. And I think like everything in the article is reported, you know, I don't think he's like making anything up, but it's just very strongly like outdoor cat population. Yeah, you can feel the like, we need to start killing these things. Am I right, folks? Which I don't know, maybe that is the correct policy, but it's pretty wild. It like two major stories that kind of had the same kind of implication popping up around a time when there's like so many cat lovers in the country. I think the cats that they're talking about are generally like feral cats, but still, it's wild times, bad times to be an outdoor cat out there, folks.
Well, as someone with toxoplasmosis, right. I love cats to an irrational degree, and leave the cats alone.
Do you have outdoor cats?
I used to let my cats outside, and then we had this whole coyote problem. So they don't go outside.
They kept eating coyotes, your cats.
But yeah, like when I let them out, oh yeah, just voracious, reveling in murder constantly.
Yeah.
They are killing machines, in to a supernatural degree. So not doubting this, that they kill billions of birds every year.
Yeah, billions with a B, according to this article.
But leave the cats alone, okay? Or it's ugly.
Right. Yeah, I feel like this is like going to hit a... Like, I'm not taking a side one way or another, but I feel like this is going to be very controversial. Like, you know, just everywhere in America, because there are so many cat people. And then it seems like there's a healthy push coming from people who think like cat populations need to be culled. Cat people, beware of Jonathan Franzen. He's coming for your cats. Author of The Corrections. That is gonna do it for us on this Monday, January 8th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show, a trending episode. Whole ass. Until then, be kind to each other, be kind to yourselves, get the vaccine, don't do nothing about white supremacy, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.